Bob, what is going on with City Council candidate Sean Nixon?
It's an interesting story, and as somebody who's been covering El Paso politics for more than 30 years, I have to say I've never seen anything like this. He's running for the city council seat that would represent Northeast El Paso, and since about the middle of August, a number of people have come forward to say that they did work for his campaign and were either paid with bad checks or not paid at all. The accumulated total of the bad checks and wage theft by the campaign, it now is well beyond $300,000.
Wow.
When I interviewed Mr. Nixon last week, he acknowledged that the campaign had only actually raised about $1,200, and he tried to blame the bad checks on campaign staff, but the people who were victimized make it very clear that they only dealt with Sean Nixon. And so in El Paso, like most other cities, it doesn't cost $300,000 to run for city council. Most candidates might spend maybe $50,000 or $60,000. So Sean Nixon has probably shattered the record for spending on an El Paso city council race, but he essentially raised no money for it. So the police are investigating this. The district attorney says they're aware of the accusations and are awaiting the police report before determining how to proceed.
With COVID-19, traditional means of campaigning have had to change. What are you seeing from some of the candidates there in El Paso?
The campaigns are taking some different tacks on this. We've got two candidates, the incumbent mayor Dee Margo and former mayor Oscar Leeser, who are already well known. So they're kind of using, you know, traditional tactics like TV and radio ads. But other candidates who aren't as well known and don't have that kind of funding have had to get a bit more creative. Veronica Carbajal, who's an attorney who's running, is really focusing a lot of her energy on appealing to younger and more non-traditional voters. So she's using the social media platform TikTok to reach people and is also doing a bunch of virtual meetings. Another candidate named Carlos Gallinar, who's a veteran city planner here, has been using Zoom a lot. He's had kind of an interesting way of fundraising where he has these events called Cooking with Carlos, where he'll bring in a well-known chef in the city and lead people in preparing a meal from food boxes they'd already received. So this is the kind of thing you wouldn't see in an ordinary campaign, but as we know, 2020 is anything but ordinary. So it'll be interesting to see how impactful these new approaches to campaigning will be.
And of course, we've seen COVID-19 cases on the rise again in our region, and it looks like children are making up larger numbers now.
So we're essentially in our second wave of COVID-19 here. The first wave was from the middle of June through the middle of August. And then the second wave began probably about the middle of September as people started testing positive after gatherings over Labor Day weekend. A number of children also began returning to school. And so what we've seen happen in the month of September, 19% of all the COVID-19 cases in El Paso were among people 19 and younger, essentially meaning children. That's way higher than what we'd seen earlier. For example, in August, only about 14% of cases were among children. And then in July, only about 11% of cases are among children. So it's worrisome for a number of reasons. The biggest reason is that the waivers that local school districts have had that allow them to continue virtual instruction expire on October 19th, and they're under orders from the state to begin returning kids to the classroom. And if we have these high numbers of infections continuing and there's no reason to think this is going to disappear overnight, we're going to face some really difficult decisions in the middle of October as kids are told to start returning to school. It's possible the state could extend the waiver. We're quickly getting back into crisis state. We're probably going to have something like 1,500 new cases again this week. Our hospital numbers are creeping back up. We're up over 170 people in the hospital now. These are numbers we've not seen since early to mid-August. So El Paso, much like Doñana County, is in an increasingly precarious position with COVID-19.
It really doesn't feel like there was much of a break between wave one and wave two.
No, it was just a few weeks, maybe 2 or 3 weeks at the most.
All right. Find these stories at elpasomatters.org. Bob, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.